How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, September 23rd, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, happy Monday.
Glad to have you with me today. Also today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon.
Glad to have you with us. Now, Andrew, I want to start with you because just before we started recording today, we got an interesting press release from Apple about the new iMac.
So the new Mac Pro is going to be manufactured in Texas, which is a bit interesting because the 2013 Mac Pro was also manufactured in Texas, but I had written this up a while ago. I don't remember the reason why, but manufacturing ended up moving to China, and now it's back. And I think this might have to do with these new tariffs that are hitting Apple these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm just going to jump in. Looking at the press release, it looks like there's a clear connection, doesn't it? You know, they talk about a couple of things that indicate that the conversations we know Tim Cook and President Trump have had maybe have led to this decision.
Mm-hmm. There was some interesting wording in the press release about the Mac Pro, not the iMac. Thank you, Andrew. One of the things that they didn't really go into in the press release was the manufacturers and suppliers from all these different states. So it'll be interesting. More people will come out and say, hey, it was this place in Pennsylvania. It was this place in Vermont. I'm assuming we'll find out more about that as time goes on. But yeah, there was some wording about how being able to do this in Texas is based on a product exclusion for certain necessary components, is what it says. So it sort of sounds like there may have been a deal made so that it could be made here in the U.S. as long as there weren't exorbitant tariffs put on things that had to come from China in order for them to get assembled, I'm imagining. But
we don't know exactly what those conversations are, and also we know that some Apple products were already preempted, right?
Yes.
Exempted, not preempted. we're aware of that.
Yes.
This is obviously all related.
Yes. To be sure. I'm glad to see it. If Apple's spending money to manufacture in the United States, then they're continuing to manufacture in the United States, and that's good news.
Yeah, and Apple's always made a big play of this.
Yeah. And they've always had sort of a facility of some consequence in Texas. If you ever had to get your computer repaired and it had to be sent off to a repair depot, it probably went to Texas. There's been support centers there and things through the years. I don't know what they're aside from making the previous edition of the Mac Pro, I don't know how much actual manufacturing was going on there aside from the repair stuff. So there's always been sort of this outpost of Apple there in Texas, and it's been there for as far back as I can remember, which honestly is pretty far. So
isn't because of that often why legal action against Apple takes place in part of Texas? Am I right about that?
Yes. It's a little bit because Apple has a presence in Texas, and also because there is a court there that is favorable to patent trolls, and so right. At least used to be favorable to patent trolls, and so that made it a really nice place to go ahead and file because Apple did have a presence in that state. So yeah, good stuff. Andrew, was there anything notable in the press release aside from continue to build Mac Pros in the U.S.
Apple, according to their press release, ultimately their goal is by 2023 to invest $350 billion in the U.S. economy,
Now that's with a B. So last year, for people keeping track at home.
Yeah, and billion. They mentioned last year the company spent over $60 billion with more than 9,000 domestic suppliers across the country, mm-hmm. over 36 states.
That's interesting.
So that's nice. They're trying to create more jobs here, too.
Yeah. And because of, here's the thing, because of where I am, I look at that and I wonder sort of what they mean by supplier. Because I know that Apple owns a hydroelectric plant here in Oregon in order to power a data center of Apple's here in Oregon. So I wonder if, you know, does that count? How much of that sort of relationship counts as suppliers and that sort of thing? So I wonder if this is all strictly hardware or if it's other stuff too, you know, like contracting with another sort of power provider so that other data centers have renewable energy and things like that. Because that's one of the things that comes out in their report a lot. And I think it'll be interesting to see, because this does also mention again a thing that we wrote up last week on the site about sending $250 million to Corning, who makes the glass for Apple stuff, and mm-hmm. talking about their manufacturing fund and how it works. And then I did see that near the bottom, it talks about how Apple announced plans to expand its presence in a few places. And one of those was Seattle, which I remember. And getting bigger all the time. So it seems like things are looking up for Apple. I mean, as much gloom and doom as we hear about Apple around the earnings sometimes, it's really nice to see this. And maybe this is, you know, partly to show that Apple is still continuing to be a viable company. I mean, not like we didn't already know that, but that there's more to it than just the iPhone, which is the thing that everybody's been worried about since the iPhone got super popular. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be interesting to see, and at least for the manufacturers and suppliers in Oregon, I will see if I can find out anything about that. And if I do, I will be sure to make sure that TMO knows about it. I thought it was interesting the way they highlighted it, and so it was good to see the press release. And I guess that's pretty good, right? Like the Mac Pros are, at least the new one anyway, seems like a relatively heavy machine since they're going to be selling wheels for it. So it's good they don't have to ship them all the way across the ocean if they're going to weigh 50, 60 pounds a piece. So that'd be good.
Yeah.
It's a little different than shipping a bunch of iPhones, right? So anyway, as we find out more about this, like I said, I will see if I can find out anything about who it is in Oregon that is supplying Apple. And if as we get other information about other suppliers, we will certainly let you know about it. Right now, what we want to talk about is something that we heard about at the Showtime event that is now going to be reality. And I apologize in advance, but I feel like this is the only way to present this information. Oprah's bringing back the book club. So here we are. Charlotte?
She's so bringing back the book club on Apple TV Plus and Apple Books. It's pretty cool. So we knew Oprah was involved, and Kenny and I have spent more time than is healthy speculating on what she might be doing with Apple.
Yes.
One of the things she's going to do is the book club. Her famous book club, which can make a best-selling author out of whoever she deigns to pick, because she's Oprah. And so what they're doing is they're going to have every other month, Oprah will interview, they'll pick a book and Oprah will interview the author. That book is going to be available, of course, on Apple Books as both an ebook and a audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy those through Apple Books. And a contribution for each purchase through Apple Books goes to the American Library Association, which is nice. But this is the kind of thing that makes sense for Oprah and Apple to be doing together.
Mm-hmm.
That it is, you know, it's got multiple revenue streams. it's multimedia, it uses brand Oprah, it uses the kind of education stuff that Apple is into, it uses multiple Apple services. When I read this and I looked and read the details of this, it really made sense to me. I think this is a really, really clever collaboration between the two companies. I really, really do.
Yeah. And honestly, looking through the announcement, it told me something. First of all, it showed me a feature in books that I didn't even know existed, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the book, they announced it just this morning, and the first revamped book club selection is The Water Dancer by Ta-Nehisi Coates. You can pre-order that on Apple Books, as Charlotte said, both ebook and audiobook. And she's going to be interviewing him at Apple Carnegie Library in Washington, D.C. Yep. And then you will be able to watch that interview on TV Plus, of course. Yep. And so the feature, this was the thing that I thought was interesting. They point out that with the new reading goals feature in Apple Books, readers can make reading a daily habit more easily. And I didn't even know that was a thing. I don't remember anybody talking about it. Nobody really talks about books that much, like particularly at the events and things. We don't hear a whole lot about books. We heard like they revamped the store, but they didn't really talk about it a lot, or they didn't talk about new features coming to it. So I'm super into this. And I mean, I spend a lot of time on my Kindle, but this is a thing that might make me spend more time in Apple Books.
Interesting. Well, and obviously that is the intention, that there are lots of people like you that go, oh, I want to be in a book club with Oprah, because who wouldn't want to be in a book club with Oprah?
I would be in most any club with Oprah, quite honestly.
Sure. So yeah, this is, it's like you say, it's going to be on Apple TV Plus from the 1st of November. It's going to be one of the first things on TV Plus. It's interesting as well, another kind of dynamic, that it's going to be a live interview. I don't know. I don't think they made it clear if the other author interviews are going to be conducted in a live setting.
Yeah, or in an Apple store. We haven't heard.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, I heard Apple just reopened a really nice, big, glamorous Apple store that's open 24/7. So,
yeah.
And I heard a lot of writers live in New York. So,
you know, I've heard that too.
I can see that being a thing that happens. But it's really interesting and shows that Apple, I think, is really starting to get what it means to be a modern media company. Now, maybe Oprah had to teach them. That's possible.
Well, if anybody could.
Right. But this, if they can, this model that they've deployed with Oprah seems to be a really, really smart one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because it does and also highlight the Books app, you know, buying books from Apple Books that you can carry around with you. You know, in one of those billion pockets, you can have, you know, books as well as all the other communication that you have in there.
Yeah, so. No, I totally agree. I think this is really, really very clever.
Yeah. Andrew, are you going to join a book club?
No, but I am glad that they are paying more attention to books.
Me too.
Like I said before, I wish that they would have, like, you know, turned this, announced this as part of, hey, look at this new Apple Books monthly subscription, like all their other new services now. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see that in the future.
I want that so much. Kindle Unlimited, I think, is what it's called from Amazon, mm-hmm. where it's sort of all you can read every month. And I would much rather get that from Apple if I could. Like, if I was going to pay for one, I don't pay for the Kindle Unlimited one now. I pick and choose what books I want to read. And honestly, a lot of it comes from the library, which is why I spend as much time on my Kindle as I do, is because I can check out books from the library that way. Which, if you didn't know, you should go check out your library and see what kind of online services they have, because checking out ebooks is really easy, because even if you forget to return them, they just quit working on your Kindle. And it's awesome because you never get a late fee for not returning an electronic book.
I'm really interested in what Andrew just said. I think that's a really, really interesting point, that you could make kind of being part of Oprah's book club a subscription whereby mm-hmm. you get the book, you know, you pay. Well, Apple seems to be doing $4.99 as their price point.
Yeah.
If you made Oprah's Book Club $4.99 and you got that book and, you don't know, something else, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see people going for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, even if it was just $4.99 for the book that is part of the book club, I can really, and it just got automatically delivered and you didn't even have to think about it.
That would be fantastic. If it just showed up, I just open up and go, oh, Oprah announced her book today. Right. Here it is waiting for me. Yes. Andrea, I look forward to you writing up how that service would work because I need it. And now I look forward to
you patenting it so that when it releases, definitely. You become super wealthy.
Yeah. Every time I download a book, Apple owes you a nickel. This is a good business plan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like it. You know, we talked about this, I think, Andrew, when we got the Showtime event and we talked about TV Plus, and they gave us some info about Arcade Plus that was coming, and you know, mm-hmm. we keep hearing about Apple being a services company, and I know you've brought this up before, and I still don't understand why it's not what's happening. Like, I feel like there must be some piece of information that we don't have, like Apple's working on it, or publishers are mad about it because they don't like how Amazon treated them when they did this with Amazon. I don't know. But there has to be something to it, because this is the most obvious thing to me now that they're doing subscription models for huge other pieces of the stuff that I can buy. Like Apple Arcade, which we will talk about here on TDO, I'm certain. You know, that's a service. We've got the TV stuff, which is a service. We talk about Apple Music on the regular. So why there's not a book one, I simply cannot understand. So I would love that.
I think, Andrews, unless there's a publishing issue, but you've already talked about Kindle Unlimited, so publishers obviously don't have an issue with being part of that kind of service.
Yeah.
I would hope, but yeah.
Maybe it's just, you know, a plan for the future.
Yeah. Maybe we're going to get TV off the ground and see how that works, and then move, you know. We started with games because it was easy, but because way more people play games than read books. I mean, I'm just speculating, but maybe it's something along those lines. But I really want that. And if this were a text conversation, this is where I would put that Fry from Futurama, shut up and take my money gif. It would go right here. Because I would be happy to do that. And I would even be happy to pay $5 a month just to be in Oprah's book club, because every couple of months I get a book. Maybe in the off month I get something else. If they see that I'm done reading already or something, then I can read another book in the meantime by the same author or something. I don't know. But I would really like if that were a reality. Seems like it'd be a very obvious thing. So I look forward to it. And if you are also looking forward to it, you can tell us about that at observations@macobserver.com. I would like to point out that those of you who wrote in and suggested apps that Charlotte needed for her phone, thank you very much. I appreciate those. They've all been sent along.
Thank you very much. Yes, I had a fun time downloading stuff. Some of them I already had and used. Some of them were very new and very useful. Also, someone made a very good point about transferring from Spotify to Apple Music, and you do have to be careful because kind of your Apple Music stuff stays in the cloud, mm-hmm. but you're obviously going to have to spend a bit of time downloading stuff for if you move from, say, one Apple Music device to another or that kind of thing.
Oh, yes, because if you're using iCloud Music Library, then you're streaming a lot of that, and when you stop streaming that stuff, then it's not available on your device. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yes, thank you for that note. And if you still have suggestions for things that Charlotte should be downloading, stuff that she has, particularly if you are somebody who has also made the transition from Android to iOS, Charlotte looks forward to those, I'm certain. And again, that's observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter. And if you want to talk to us more about the book club or about Books Plus or whatever Apple's going to call it when they hopefully come out with their book subscription service, you can leave comments in the show notes and talk to us about that. That would be super fantastic. I'd like to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm glad to see that the Mac. I wrote down iMac, so I looked at my notes, and it still says iMac, and I need to fix that. So I'm glad to see that the Mac Pro is going to continue to be manufactured in Texas, and hopefully we will find out more about that soon. Charlotte, thanks for coming by to talk to me about Oprah.
Can I go back and play games on an arcade now?
Yes, you can. We will talk. We will, like I said, we will talk about arcade.
Thanks, bye.
On TDO. We will miss Charlotte. And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow if I'm not also playing a bunch of stuff on Apple Arcade. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.